Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Okay, we have Jim up there for some reason, but we're here. Everybody make it? Everybody intact? Comic Book Nation? Yeah. Okay, there we go. Back in the driver's seat. What's up, everybody? This is Comic Book Nation. This is the other half of our epic Disney Plus Day stream. If you're just listening to this in podcast and you're so confused, we are doing a split podcast with our sister podcast, Comic Book, or Phase Zero. They came on today because it's Disney Plus Day, where Disney Plus told you all the reasons why to keep subscribing to Disney Plus. And since Phase Zero is our Marvel podcast, they got a crack at all the good Marvel goodness that we just got revealed for Disney Plus Day. Jim Viscardi promised us we'd be getting this epic Star Wars and other rundown, which turns out to be, well, less than
nothing. So we're all gonna
nothing.
Talk about
so, yeah, we're just, we have nothing. So yeah, Jim set us up so we have nothing here. But we got the one thing from Star Wars we'll talk about, of course, is the first look at Obi-Wan Kenobi, which you all saw yesterday when it leaked all over the internet. But that was a good look. Gave us a first look at the kind of concept art for Obi-Wan Kenobi taking on Darth Vader, which is going to be the epic highlight. Who is making food and stuff?
That would be my roommate.
Do me a favor and mute your roommate. Man, that's just kind of show we have right now. Oh boy, the microwave show. So,
all right, so let's get today, into this, man.
Yeah, let's get into this. So we're going to talk about Obi-Wan Kenobi. It looked cool. We all just want to see the fight with Darth Vader, right? There's going to be some other cool stuff for you Star Wars geeks. We got the Inquisitors are going to be back. Obi-Wan Kenobi's basically going to have to get off Tatooine and kind of face Darth Vader on what looks to be Mustafar again for that rematch and kind of go across the galaxy when it's in the shadow of the Empire. So we're all very excited about that. We're excited about Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen kind of coming back.
Ewan McGregor!
Yeah, so very excited for that. Rich, are you back there? Are you excited? Rich, our producer, are you excited?
I am. I am back here. And yeah. I am
there he is! There he is!
I was expecting a trailer, but hey, the pictures will do. I'm glad to know we're getting a rematch. That's going to be very exciting to see. So, I mean, we didn't get a lot, but I'm happy to see that.
There you go. Rich always puts a positive spin. He's back there on the boards making this show happen. He doesn't come out very often, but he is a bona fide Star Wars fan. So, yeah, he's hyped for Obi-Wan Kenobi, and we all are. You guys, anybody else have anything yet? Everybody just hyped for that fight, right?
It's just so good to see Ewan McGregor. Like, I love him.
Well, one of the things that'll be interesting is, I guess, like, the what kind of show this is going to be? Because, like, it's
a road trip show through the darkness, and it's going to be reflective about Obi-Wan Kenobi's basically going to have to leave hiding, go across this journey of the galaxy that's going to be like, wow, the galaxy sucks now. Like, I mean, it's basically what's going to happen. And dodge people who are going to be on his tail.
I can't imagine they do a Western, right? Because, like, that's it's already being handled by Mandalorian and, like, you know.
I don't think this is going to be a genre blend. I think this is going to be a character piece. It's going to be about, because there's going to be other things that they'll probably put in place. Like, how did Obi-Wan finally complete the training to be able to kind of become a Force ghost? And what led him to finally discover that Anakin was Vader and what connected those dots? And that's all it's a bunch of fan service canon we don't have yet that we need. And so that's basically what's going to be.
Kofi, could you see this being the Star Wars version of, like, Logan?
Yeah, basically. That's good. I think that's the best app description I've heard of it yet. It would be Star Wars, is like Star Wars version of Logan. Yeah.
Damon Streams has a very good point, by the way. All of Star Wars is a Western in a way.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a theft of stolen from East, West, Africa, like everything. It's just a bunch of melting pot of stuff George Lucas stole. But yeah, it all came out.
Kofi, you theorized that we'll see some Crimson Dawn stuff here too, right?
No, that was I theorized that for the Book of Boba Fett, which get this all confused. I don't think they'll mess with that. Like I said, I think this will be more introspective about Obi-Wan and him kind of dealing with the failure of the Jedi, what the universe is now, and kind of trying to maintain that feeling of hope that will lead to kind of Luke becoming who he is and all that stuff. So it could be really good. But I think a Logan and Star Wars Logan is a good sell for me. So let's talk about all the disappointment. What we didn't get. We didn't get anything new. Nothing new for Book of Boba Fett. Nothing new for Star Wars Andor, the Rogue One prequel. Nothing for Ahsoka, the other Mandalorian spinoff. Nothing for Bad Batch Season 2, if that's even going to be a thing. Have we even confirmed?
Nothing for Mando Season 2.
No, nothing for Mando Season 3. So you got 1 minute. If you go on Disney Plus right now, you got 1 minute to look at Obi-Wan Kenobi, and you can watch a 22-minute documentary Under the Helmet, a Boba Fett retrospective, which is hilarious to me because it's only 22 minutes of them trying to talk about how little screen time Boba Fett got before he became this massive person, but they could still only make 22 minutes to talk about that, which is the worst documentary ever.
Well, so we will probably get into this at the end of our recap, but I do pose a question out there for our viewers of, you know, was this kind of a bust? And at least I can give you a very early hint of my opinion. Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, spoilers, yes. Even on the Marvel side, which we can dip in real quick so everybody can get out of their system. Like, even on the Marvel side, like, it was I don't want to scare anybody, but these have already come in the first Hawkeye reviews. But I feel like Marvel Studios is now beginning to settle into that groove, if you want to call it, that Netflix did, where this all starts to feel kind of formulaic, because even everything we saw in here was pretty formulaic, right? It was like teases of the characters doing funny stuff, kind of teases of the costumes and the action, but not really. So like, except for just Nick Fury looking crazy, Secret Invasion. So, I mean, it wasn't all that hyped. I think the investors, I mean, I never thought I'd say this, but I think the investors day was more exciting. Yeah. So
it's just from a comparison point, because it's not that I'm not excited for, like, I'm hyped for Rescue Rangers. Okay. Like, I am so pumped for that.
Yeah. This was good for you. You got Rescue Rangers. There's a lot of Sneakerella, stuff. Yeah, Darkwing Duck. Baymax looks like it could get good for a laugh, you know.
Utopia, like the first look at this Utopia, like I got excited about last time, and also obviously Moon Knight and Ms. Marvel, right? Like this was very much catered to me, it feels like. However, if you look at the things that they showed from all of those things, it's like, okay, Rescue Rangers, I got a little tiny look at a tiny script where the most exciting thing was the Darkwing Duck words behind the script, right? And then Zootopia, I got an image. Like Baymax, I got just a little something. At least Sneakerella, I got like a full trailer. Moon Knight, we got images, which that is exciting, right? Because we actually got like a look at the costume and things like that. But like Ms. Marvel, we got some footage. But none of these things outside of Moon Knight were kind of things, one, we haven't seen in set photos that have been taken for months now. And two, that aren't on Twitter if you just literally type in the words. So like there wasn't anything new and hypeable. I also gonna point out, okay, I gotta call out a little of MCU apologists like going around here. I understand that Ms. Marvel's powers, because I heard that at the end of the stream. Right, Ms. Marvel's powers are not the most important part of her character.
Yep, absolutely obviously. Not.
No. They are a part of her character, though, and they are a part of her history. And so, like, and they are part of what makes those books, especially when the right artist is on them, so extremely fun. It's just the visual gags that they can do. So not having them on there. And by the way, you know, I'm a huge Green Lantern person, so this is no shade on constructs and anything, but like, that's not the character. And so I get a little annoyed that like Ms. Marvel is getting the shaft on the embiggening powers, which are all too similar to Mr. Fantastic. He's not around yet. I don't care about him.
I don't think Mr. Fantastic is around yet because I don't think anybody has cracked the code. Yeah, like Aquaman was a code that had to be cracked, underwater stuff. This is another one, and I don't think Hollywood, anybody has done any kind of, and you know, the only person who's good at this is like Carpenter and Cronenberg, right? And it's not for the reasons Disney wants.
Well, right. It's that body horror. It's the body horror. Exactly.
Like you can't, I was thinking about this just the other day, like how do you do Ms. Marvel without freaking out? And especially like adolescents who already are just like sitting in bodies that they are freaked out by, like seeing, how do you not go Cronenberg with some of this stuff? And it's just,
there have like, been, I feel like there have been movies or shows though that have tackled like the morphing and stretching. I can't recall the ones that handled it the best, because I don't think anyone has. No, there's not been that example of like, that's how you do it. But I do feel like some have tackled it in a way that's like, it's fine. And I don't know. I don't want her to trade her entire, because like that is part of the fun of her powers. So I'm not saying that I'm like pissed and a troll about it. I am just like, no, I'm not going to just give the MCU a pass on it either. Like, I want to see them pull it off. I want to see it look good. And then I'll give it a pass. I'm not just going to give it one because the MCU did it. I feel like that's a golden ticket lately. And that's annoying.
Connor, you have to say something before
Connor's got
Connor.
Thoughts.
Connor's got
So I wanted to get this point across before we get to the nitty gritty of all these different segments. I think between this fandom and Ta-Dum from earlier this year, I think studios need to start stealing a playbook out of Nintendo and only have these events when they actually have material to present, because nothing is more of a letdown than just showing a series of logos.
Mm-hmm.
And the big MCU presentation at the end, I kept hitting the 15-second skip button.
Me too.
Because I know you can
skip the first 7 minutes.
Like, I've already seen these shows.
What's the
more
point of this?
Yeah.
Like, I get that we're all like, I wish this was a stream, but y'all just didn't have anything to show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a really good point, man.
I was going to end with saying that this entire thing was weird because it felt like it was a look in the entertainment industry of saying Disney Plus, COVID is not over for us yet. Like, everybody was just kind of like, there was no togetherness, there was nothing. Yeah.
Those were some details that were kind of alluded to on the investor call earlier this week, where they said like stuff for them, they don't expect a ramp up until Q3 of next year.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Wow. That's
6 whole months of very light content. And so much so that, like, you know, look, the stock, we're not financial analysts, but the stock took a tumble before the investor call and has continued to. Yeah. And so, like, I think there is a very much this, you know, I think that's probably why we're getting so many animated things on the, like, animation takes a while, but you're able to kind of spread that out a bit and get more people working on it than you are, you know, when you're doing live action stuff.
And some of those projects have been in the works for years, right?
Absolutely.
So got some lead up. Yeah.
Yeah. And I will not let anyone shame the fact that we did get more news about Disenchanted. And
we did. That's right. I saw that.
That is a movie I have legitimately been waiting for since the first Enchanted movie came out.
I just want to say,
who needs Marvel when you can talk Disenchanted? Go ahead, Jay.
I like, honestly, the only thing that really stuck with me from this is like the delivery was so difficult for me. Yeah. I'm not like an avid Twitter user. And if it weren't for me following you guys, like all of you on Twitter, I would have been so confused and not able to really like make sure I was hitting every single story and release. Like, I didn't even know the Marvel thing went up on Disney Plus until Brandon tweeted it. And I was like, oh, time for me to go over to Disney Plus. And I just think that was, I think it was a really poor choice to not have a live event like that. Mm-hmm. You need to like play it up.
Just so people seem to be still confused about the hustle here in the comments and even on the show. Look, guys, this was all a scheme to get you on Disney Plus today. To get mass surge on Disney Plus today.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for all this stuff, the Marvel stuff is a 14-minute special that is now on Disney Plus. You can skip minute 1 through 7. It's just a replay of WandaVision, Falcon,
Winter
Soldier,
Loki.
It's very
much a big patting themselves on the back.
Yeah, Loki, and What If, even, before you get to a sizzle reel of the new stuff. So last 7 minutes. Then the Obi-Wan Kenobi is on there under the Star Wars stuff. It's 1 minute, and then you can watch the Boba Fett thing if you want. And that's about it. There you go. Yeah.
But I am so pumped about Jungle Cruise and Shang-Chi.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Like, really excited. That's what I'll be doing this weekend for sure.
Yeah, Shang-Chi and Jungle Cruise are now free on Disney Plus.
I get to watch Jungle Cruise now.
Me too.
You can go check that out. But let's talk about the real best thing we saw today, movie-wise. Prey, the new Predator entry, which is coming out. We got a new poster. If you go to comicbook.com movies, we got a new poster and logo for Prey. It looks awesome. It looks like a good entry in the Predator franchise. It's from Dan Trachtenberg, the guy who did 10 Cloverfield Lane. And all the rumors we heard about this were true. It's going to follow our girl for what's her name from Legion. Oh, man, I forget her name right now. I can't believe I'm blanking on it. And, of course, we don't have in our article Grey Wolf. Good job, comic book. Anyway, so, yeah, our girl from our Native American actress girl from Kick-Ass girl from Legion is in it. And it's going to be set 300 years ago. Oh, a Native American tribe gets targeted by a predator. And the hunter is a female hunter who's really kind of skilled in the tribe, but is obviously an outcast because she's a woman. And it's her versus predator using kind of ancient weapons and hunting. And I am here for this, so.
It's like Far Cry Primal, but hopefully it's good.
Yeah.
Boom. That's
great.
Predator meets the Revenant. I'm in there for it.
Dude, so. I tell you what, just even like atmospherically, like aesthetically or whatever, like they nailed it with that logo and with that first poster.
Yeah, one of the better teaser posters I've seen in years.
It looks great. Well, like just that hint of the red Predator light in there. Oh.
Yeah, and just her with the bow and arrow, like, yeah, it's great. In the smoky jungle, like, it's great. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to Prey because that last Predator movie, Shane Black, I'm sorry, that wasn't it. So this looks more like it's going to be it.
Unfortunately.
I feel like I've been very spicy. So what I would like to say is that I did want to shout out another great thing that came from Disney Plus Day, which was the new Olaf Presents Pops, which presents Olaf in every single form.
You're killing me, Smalls.
And it's Tangled, the genie.
I didn't even see this.
He's Moana. Anyway.
Oh, that's cool.
You're killing me, Smalls.
There's your. I feel like I was not being very positive. I'm trying.
All right. Positive. Moving right along. So that was Disney Plus Day. All right. Now we got some new reviews this week to let you know what to watch. Our segment where we tell you guys what you should be watching or sharing and let you know about our thoughts about what is the big thing to watch this week. It's also interactive. So if you want to let us know what we should be watching or you want to talk with us about, be sure to go and follow us at Comic Book Nation on Twitter so you can drop your suggestions. This week, we got a big, easy one. It's action adventure movie, The Movie, now streaming on Netflix, AKA, you might have heard it subtitled as Red Notice, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Ryan Reynolds, and Gal Gadot. It's now out. Matt did an early review for us last week, but now that it's out, I had a chance to sit down and see it amidst all this Disney Plus Day craziness. And, you know, I was joking before, but it seems I was spot on. This is action adventure movie, The Movie, starring three people playing their on-screen personas. And that doesn't mean it's not fun. It is very fun.
I wasn't wrong, right? Like
It's kind of like Hobbs and Shaw meets National Treasure. Right. And that's not a bad combination.
I love both
of those in turns about. Yeah. So it's a fairly, I mean, it's a good entertainment movie, and it's one that is surprisingly would be fun. If you have kids who are like, you know, eight or above and you're hanging out with, and you're looking for something for family movie night, this is a great thing to put on in the home theater system and sit down and kind of take this in, because it is The Rock and Ryan Reynolds spending a lot of time kind of trading that chemistry and doing that whole thing. And then Gal Gadot also being kind of in the middle of it, and just it's a lot of fun with them and their personas, as long as you know what you're getting and you're cool with that. If you're expecting, like, you know, some epic deep performances and stuff like that, please don't. And there are even a couple fun little twists in the movie. So yeah. I thought it was good, but kind of just, yeah, like I said, it's action adventure movie, The Movie.
Jamal, Matt, did you get a chance to see this one?
No, but I'm just really pumped about the Doom Patrol finale. So I'll touch on that.
Somebody is out there.
Like I said last week, like, I just really enjoy, like, because I made that Hobbs and Shaw comparison. Like, it was very much like that for me. And I really enjoyed Hobbs and Shaw as much for its, let's like, over the topness, right? But I thought the action was better in that one. And the actual, like, back and forth camaraderie of the group, and especially Reynolds and Rock, was better in this one. Like, I actually liked those parts better. And then the action stuff wasn't as good as the stuff in Hobbs and Shaw. So, like, but I still would put them.
Like, I'm the opposite. The action in it. I think the action in this is better for me.
I think it's just I dig that, like, Fast and Furious, even though Hobbs and Shaw is a spinoff, it still has that very, like, Fast and Furious, like, none of this makes sense.
It's very dramatic.
It's so, I enjoy that. Like, I dig it, right? So I just felt like it looked better. Like, I just liked how some of the sequences played out. However, Red Notice has a great, when they're escaping the prison, that whole sequence is really fun, and like the creative ways and like seeing how Rendell's plans exist, really, really fun. So I enjoyed this. Like, it was also nice to see Galen have some fun in like a more villain role, you know, and she was like clearly having fun.
Yeah.
So this is the most Ryan Reynolds movie I've ever seen Ryan Reynolds in.
Oh yeah.
Totally.
Oh yeah. By far. Like, yeah. I mean, it's also very much a Rock movie, like from just a costume choice. And I think there are things that they good at kind of meta, getting meta, like him poking fun at Rock's choice in costumes and dress and persona and stuff. There's just like a lot of fun things in this movie.
That was a nice coat though.
Yeah, it was a nice coat. It was a very, you know, naked cow saying worth it out there.
Unpopular opinion, The Rock seems like the same character in everything to me. So does this feel different?
No, it doesn't feel different at all.
Did you blank out for the opening of this?
Yeah, like, I mean,
he is the exact same character.
Check Jay for strokes.
So is Reynolds, though. Like, Reynolds. But, like, that was a criticism we had last week of, like, well, they're the same people and everything. But, yeah, but, like, again, like I said, like, so is Will Smith. And
yeah, half there's,
the things what about Jungle Cruise?
Is I don't the same have Jungle that problem. Oh, I'm pretty
guys,
curious.
Like, I haven't seen it. If you haven't been seeing movies since the 80s, I don't know what to tell you. But, yeah, getting stars who you pay them to be themselves in every movie is kind of the way Hollywood works. So I don't know.
Unless they're going
for an Oscar. I don't know how to say that. Yeah.
And then they put on prosthetics.
Yeah.
And then they become somebody completely different. And we're like, holy cow.
Nicole Kidman slightly ugly get Oscar. Boom.
Oh, God.
There we go. All right. So that's Red Notice. Yes, we did watch Arcane. So some people are asking about Arcane. Asterisk, I tried to watch Arcane.
Oh, wow.
Thought it was trash. Stop.
Oh, wow.
Damn. Yeah.
Right. Okay. I'm gonna have to listen to this because I love the animation style.
Yeah,
it's
gorgeous.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, it looks great.
It looks
like What If on a budget, right? Kind of.
Yeah. Like their mouths are synced properly.
Oh, all right. Well, hold on. Okay, Kofi, why don't you say what you didn't like about it?
It just didn't. I mean, it's just simple. I'll maybe give it another chance. But like, I sat down and I just tried to get into it, and I was just kind of like the first episode couldn't get me. And I was just like, I'm out. And I was like, I got stuff I want to watch or got to watch. So I don't know. But I'm going to listen to you guys. And I always take the wisdom of this crowd. So if you guys can sell me, here's the elevator pitch. Tell me why I should watch Arcane.
I'll let Jim. I'm not as passionate as I enjoyed it.
I don't want to say I'm super passionate about it, but I know nothing about this world, League of Legends or whatever. It's a thing that I've always wanted to learn more about. Like, it feels like a thing that kind of fits in my jam. I don't know if I'm 100% sold on it, but it definitely has my attention to want to see more in a way that a lot of other recent stuff that I've started watching has not. And I think a lot of it is probably the way it looks. Cause I will say, like, I really love the aesthetic of the show. But it's, I don't know, like I said, I think it has me looking more at League of Legends. Like, I want to find out more in this world. I just haven't been able to find a good entry point. And so I think this is, a good entry point for me to explore that more. And honest, you may just need that interest to try and get it. Because I can see how you may not, like, if that is just something that doesn't interest you, it's just not your jam.
I really love the, like, I've always really enjoyed the character designs of League of Legends, the champions, right? That as they're called, I think they're called. Tanner, if I'm wrong, Tanner from home will be like, no, how dare you? So, like, and I've always been like, you know, like, oh, that's a cool design. Like, what's his name? What does he do? Like, I love the look of it. I've tried to play League of Legends and suck completely. Like, I got owned. And after like hours of beating my head against the wall, I went, nope, not for me. But I love
Just go play Pokemon Unite. It's basically the same game, but
I love the world. I love the look. And so I was always wanting to be in it. Like, I was always wanting to be in it. So Arcane was, like Jim says, like a perfect opportunity for someone like me who's eager to be in that world and likes some of those characters to actually like get to know them and get to know some of the backstory and stuff. And the animation really took with me. Like, I just really enjoyed it, especially like that opening intro to that episode.
That made me
like,
cry.
Captured me.
I don't even know them.
Right. Like, I got like, oh, okay. So like, that was a really good hook for me to actually give it a try. So I enjoyed it. Like, I will actually keep tuning in.
So can I just say I'm totally in agreement with both of you, but I, now that I know that I don't have to watch it for the podcast because Kofi's not about it, I'm probably not going to continue on. And I'm just going to tell it like it is, even though it's a great show.
Pundits, homie.
But even though it's great, because instead of watching the movie that you got, we just covered, and I missed out on that, I read Notice, I binged the show, and I'm kind of like, man, did I make the right decision? Because Kofi has me like wondering here.
You just got to be honest with yourself, man. I just, when I don't feel it, you got to trust in the force.
I felt it. I did. But like, there's just so many other things that I feel more. And it is beautiful and it's really cool, but it was very adult. Like, it was heavy. Right. And it actually kind of was like upsetting at times. Like, I would leave an episode of being like really affected by it. So I don't really love to watch episodes that heavy back to back. Like, I really like to just experience them weekly. So I'm not big into binging. Like, even Doom Patrol was really hard for me to binge. It was like a little like, whoa. So
I will, yeah. Look, I will always respect Janelle for doing a 2-season binge of Titans to get ready.
And
for
Doom Patrol.
Third season of Titans.
Stargirl. I'm on Supergirl right now.
Oh, well, that'll be good. That'll be a nice like boost of positive
your self-harm
energy.
Your self-harm is what you do to yourself. All right. We got to move on. We got to move on. We got a lot more to do.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
First, Hawkeye reactions are out. You can read them over at comicbook.com. Marvel people basically say this is a lighthearted, most lighthearted, funny series that we have. They say the kind of key Clint Barton, Jeremy Renner, and Kate Bishop, Haley Steinfeld have great chemistry together, and kind of that's what's going to propel the series. It seems like that's very successful.
Haley Steinfeld is perfect in this show.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, the clip we saw during the Disney Plus Day segment was actually really good. There's a chase. We didn't really get into that, but during Disney Plus Day's Marvel Studios special, there is the longest thing we get is a clip from Hawkeye during the kind of chase scene that we saw advertised with Clint and Kate stealing a car and kind of trying to get away from some gangsters. And it really just showcases how much fun this series is going to be. But I've also heard, like I said, at the start of those whispers of Netflix kind of comparisons, which is the first for these Marvel Studios series, which have, you know, all been very high budget. So it's going to be interesting to see how that shapes up. And then we got to see how Echo, Maya Lopez, and Yelena Bova, Black Widow fit into this series. But I'm excited. I'm really kind of psyched for Hawkeye. I remember who the heart and soul of the Avengers is. That's why he has a Christmas series. So, like, you know, heart and soul.
He, only one. He's surprisingly curmudgeon in this episode. In this series, and I'm here for it.
So, like, so that's my question. Am I finally going to care about this character?
Matt, honestly,
is this show going to make me care about Hawkeye?
Like, honestly, yes. I can't.
It's going to make you feel bad for hating Hawkeye.
No, I don't.
Well,
feel
no.
Bad
here's
at all.
The here's Matt. Here's the exact reason why I think I've been able to like connect more with Hawkeye. There is like big dad energy happening here, where he is just like so over, like just like kind of like he's been through so much and kind of over it. And so we get like dad Hawkeye, which, you know, like you're a new dad. I'm a newish dad, Kofi. You know, we're all, you know, I think that's where we will probably connect to Hawkeye more than anything else. Which is a weird thing to be like, yeah, if you're a dad, like that's how you know. But like, at least that's where I saw it. And I kind of like this bit more rough and gruff
I think this is going to be like a slightly more meta than we think kind of commentary on Renner and Hawkeye and his whole role in the MCU. I think this series is going to deal a lot more than we think about how Hawkeye has been through all this stuff, but still gets like the least amount of respect. I wrote up a clip today that's hilarious where they go to Times Square together. And if you've lived in NYC, this is like, this is the Times Square clip because they go and they're like Kate and they're looking and Hawkeye's clearly like kind of perturbed and uncomfortable by all these Avengers cosplayers that are kind of like panhandling in Times Square. But he's also perturbed because there's no Hawkeye character and Kate's like trying to make him feel better. And he goes, oh, look, there's like one, there's a girl like, you know, doing gender swap Hawkeye. And he's like, that's Katniss Everdeen from like Hunger Games. And it's just but it's a subtle hint about, you know, this about Renner's Clint Barton having to kind of weigh like, and especially against Christmas time, like what's important, right? Like what has he done with the Avengers? Like what has that really done for him in the same way? Like, you know, Falcon had to wonder that in his series. And, you know, wouldn't his time better have been better spent like with his family? You know, doesn't he probably realize that more that they got dusted and thankfully returned? And like, how does he feel after that? You know, if you're a dad, I mean, these are all like that, like Jim said, these are big dad energy questions and themes that, you know, you would be wrestling with. But it's just a metaphor for working dads, right? Like if you've been a working dad or a military dad or anybody that requires you to be away from a family a lot, like these are the kinds of things.
Or just a working parent.
It's a wonderful, it's basically a wonderful life. Sure.
Yeah. And for all the non-dads, Christmas. Right. I mean, that's why I'm excited about it. Anything Christmassy right now, I'm eating it up. So that is the reason why I'm all about this. And right. I'm not a big Hawkeye fan either, Matt. And I'm actually really pumped. I love the
course. Yeah, we know. I feel like I'm always out there on that limb by myself. Okay.
Well, if you're not a dad, there's also going to be a daughter component to this. Like, because a lot of this, like, you know, Kate Bishop's obviously going to have something with her dad. Maya Lopez obviously has something with her dad. And even Yelena Belova has, you know, pronounced family issues. So there's going to be. There's going to be a whole thing about this.
Well, that was the reason why I was excited for this series earlier when it seemed like no one else was, because I was like, Kate Bishop's in it. I'm in. And Ayla Stanfield seems perfect for Kate Bishop. But it's more
she
about
is
like what
easily she, going to be everyone's new favorite MCU character,
which is
easily.
Wonderful, by the way, because you should already like her. She's awesome. But then also, but like what she brings out of him was the question mark. Because that's what I was excited about. I was like, okay, what does having her alongside him for this kind of fun Christmas time adventure do for him? Because that's, I mean, I feel like Hawkeye in a lot of ways to me, to the Avengers, what like Hal Jordan is to the Green Lantern Corps. Like they're supposed to be these big characters, but when you look past the surface, there's nothing there. So like, that's what I've always felt about Hal Jordan. That's
coming out playing it against Hal Jordan.
Yeah, no, always. Please. He's like the eighth best Lantern. Anyway,
yeah, I get it. I know you love Kyle Rayner.
Yeah.
Kyle Rayner rules.
Yeah, we're not going down the rabbit hole of Matt's agenda. Guy here. Gardner, we're gonna pull this back.
I'll take Chip over Hal Jordan, please.
We'll be able to see what's what when Hawkeye, the heart soul of the Avengers, premieres on Disney Plus on November 24th. But we got to make a jump over to comics because we got two big segments and it's been a long stream day. So we got to wrap up. But let's go through our comics of the week, Matt. What do we got?
I'm going to get so much hate tweets, hate mail. So first, let's dip into Venom, or as it's properly said, Kofi.
Venom. Yeah, I mean, That was too long ago. That was a different one.
Kofi's over it.
I know. He's so talk about like spent dad energy. I understand.
It just sounds so wrong.
So we have the new relaunch of Venom. We've been talking a lot about Venom over the past year and a half here. So the last time we left off this kind of saga was King of Black. Eddie was the new King in Black, and then his son Dylan was kind of the new Venom, so to speak. Though here they don't walk it back, but like since this stuff has happened, we get a little bit more movement of like he hasn't really completely taken over that mantle yet. You know, Eddie doesn't really want him to bond with the symbiote quite yet. So there's some of that stuff. We see some of the ramifications of King in Black. Al Ewing and Ram V and Brian Hitch are on this relaunch. And I cannot believe that in 2021 and 2020, some of my favorite books and series were Venom. Like I would not have guessed that 10 years ago. Like it was just not in my thing. And I loved this again. Like I really like where they're taking things. They deal with some really interesting concepts I didn't really see coming. And then we get look, this is the theme of the episode, seems like the family stuff, which is that father-son bond, the like the things that Eddie has to do being in this role and how it's affected Dylan and his growth and stuff. It's just some really interesting stuff here. And I was like, oh my God, again, I'm buying into a Venom book. Like it's, I really enjoyed
it. Yeah, but this is Al Ewing doing what Al Ewing does best, right? Like right. This is a character. This is going to be a fun, I can't believe we're saying that, a character study on Venom in a way
right.
That, you know, that I don't think anyone expected. This is nothing. I totally respect the work that he has done. But I do not think Brian Hitch is the right artist for this book.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah.
It looks like knockoff Mike Deodato Jr. stuff, like 90s stuff.
When Hitch came on the scene, did Ultimates, like he brought that widescreen, you know, aspect, you know, to comics. And it was at the time incredibly revolutionary. But I think the thing for me is, the artists who I find myself gravitating towards have taken their style and have continually tried to tweak it. And I think that's where it's where older comic fans love Alan Davis, because Alan Davis's art is what it is and it's never going to change. And that's what you're going to get. And that's kind of how I feel about Brian Hitch, where you've got other artists. Like, you know, I look at like Dave Marquez or even Stegman too, right? Like have all like evolved their style. And like I said, for a book like Venom that I just don't think it's just the right person on it. But
he just I wish he loved people more. He draws people so ugly all the time. Like everybody's got this like kind of crumb flavor to them. Like even poor Dylan looks like a homeless kid throughout most of this book.
Oh, but I do. But like I said, I am excited for the Let's Dissect Venom through the lens of Al Ewing, because he did a phenomenal job of that with Hulk and made Hulk the horror book that nobody expected. And I'm really curious to see where he goes with Venom, because Al can do a lot of different styles, and I'm in for it.
I'm gonna say I'm always kind of torn when Marvel takes symbiotes into space, because it always feels kind of hokey when symbiotes get into space. I know they come from space, obviously, right. But it always feels like when you're doing it, it feels like Green Lantern knockoff whenever you try to do symbiotes in space, because that's basically kind of what they are with their changing and everything. But I do like the like what Matt said, the familial themes, like about is Eddie being a dad while he's also being a god, and that kind of question is really deep stuff that's really good, and I like the way that Venom is doing it. I think the book has to kind of, I don't know how long Eddie and Dylan can share a book. I'll say that. Yeah. I don't feel like there's enough space for both of them. I get this story arc right now, but I think eventually I thought it would be a little bit more separated. Like I thought there would be like some kind of King in Black book and then a Venom book for just Dylan. And I think they eventually have to get to that space, because I don't think there's going to be room enough. I think to really let Dylan be the new Venom, you have to kind of remove Eddie from the picture in a kind of permanent way. That adds more stakes and forces this character kind of to go on his own. Classic Boruto dilemma, anyway, for anime fans in there. All in all, I mean, I like the Venom arcs that we got from the last creative team were epic. They paid off in an epic way, and they were good. And I like the kind of arcs this set up in a very kind of creepy villain who's almost like a serial killer, kind of supernatural serial killer vibe of somebody who can just kind of fade in and fade out and you don't know for sure. And I hope they milk that in the right way, better than like freaking Spider-Man has with its kindred crap.
Oh, jeez. What did you think?
Oh, man. I felt like this was super impactful. Like I felt really, really excited about this book. Actually, I feel like this is the dad episode, because again, seriously, but it's great. Like I'm so excited to see a continuation of the King of Black stuff. I was so, so into that. And I want that to be something they explore in the MCU. I love it so much. I'm like a freaking Venom super fan now. Like I just can't, like they can do no wrong for me. I'm so jazzed about this. I'm jazzed about both storylines. Kofi does make a really good point about needing to, let each of them have their own book. Yeah. But like it felt really important to me. Everything felt very, very impactful and important. And so I was like, oh man, this isn't just like a fluffy, comics. Sometimes they get really like the stakes just don't feel, you know, very big. And it's just, and I just felt like really, I was very impressed with this book and I can't wait to keep going.
Man, yeah. The year of Venom.
Yeah.
Who knew?
I never would have thought. I'm really shocked at how much I love Venom, like everything Venom.
Yeah. Connor, I can't remember. Did you have a chance to read or no? I didn't want to leave you out if you did.
No, I'm still trying to get through Kate's run.
Oh, okay. Understand. Yeah, oh, yes. Let me know what you think after. We'll do. And Janelle brought up a really good point. This is really the dad episode because we're about to get into another book.
Yeah, our other
book. Robin like, and wow. Batman by Jeff Lemire. This is the whole issue. The whole series is about their dynamic between Bruce Wayne and Dick Grayson. But this one is told from, we typically get the perspective of Bruce bringing on the sidekick and all that stuff. And we get some of that here. But the focal point, the point of view is from Dick Grayson's point of view when he was first becoming Robin. And I was not, when this book was announced, look, I love Dustin's artwork. It was Lil Gotham, I think, that I totally ate up. Love that stuff. But I was like, do I need another Batman book? Number two, do I need a Batman and Robin, another book about this story that we've seen talked about or whatever? But I ended up really enjoying this. One, because I thought the book was unafraid to go. Sometimes you get, like, it's a difficult balance between making Bruce Wayne a complete jerk and making him like a curmudgeonly but like golden-hearted parent.
What a great word.
And here, like, and I feel like they actually lean harder towards jerk.
This they one. Really do.
But I think honestly, with the way he acts, like sometimes his words don't always back up his actions. And the way Bruce Wayne acts most of the time, this is probably how he would be raising someone and having someone step into that role. He'd be more of a jerk. And so I actually thought it was kind of honest for them to actually lean into that a little bit more. Like, he's a jerk to Alfred, like several times throughout this book. And I love Alfred's like pushbacks of like, well, you never asked my opinion to begin with, but then here's this. And like, I like that Jeremy Irons energy that Alfred's given off in this, who's my favorite Alfred, right? So there's some interesting stuff here. I was like, by the end of it, and especially the tie-in towards the end where we get a very kind of iconic Batman villain and they do more of a, they lean into the Graysons and a connection there. So I thought that was interesting too. So overall, I came out really happy with this, even though going in, I was kind of meh. Janelle, what'd you think?
Oh yeah, same. I was kind of like, man, this is really faded artwork. Like, that was kind of like my first impression because I like bright, colorful, like really hard lines and stuff. But I was surprisingly, like, I was very immersed in it for whatever reason. Again, like, I'm not Batman overplayed because, you know, I just started my comic reading journey about 2 years ago. So I'm feeling this because I love more information on characters I'm already familiar with. So that it felt really good for me because, again, I'm Titans, you know, I'm really invested in Titans. And so anything Dick is like awesome. That sounded kind of strange. But.
Yeah. That was regrettable.
Just keep moving.
Coffee, what do you think about?
Yeah. Okay. So I think the most important thing about Robin and Batman is that it walked the tightrope that, you know, Frank Miller tried to walk earlier, except it got the mix right, whereas Frank Miller got the mix very wrong. And that was that All-Star Batman and Robin, was that?
Yeah. All-Star
Batman
and Robin.
Yeah. So that was one where
Batman.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where we got I'm the GD Batman. That's right. So thanks, Frank. But that tried to do something similar, which is re-examine, you know, Batman and Robin's reformative relationship from a more quote unquote realistic light of, you know, modern psychology and child protective services view of warding and all that stuff. But it didn't go over so hot. But this, like Matt said, does a better job because you can tell the characterization of Batman is that he's putting on this gruff kind of armor to protect himself from what we know about Batman is these deep pains that he has. Right. And so his loss and his loss of family and kind of playing that up as this bravado to cover the fact that he's really scared about losing another person close to him, especially what we know in the kind of larger tragic context of what does happen eventually to a Robin, is it's good. And it makes this, it makes the Batman Robin canonized story of how Dick Grayson became Robin feel more, realistic is the only word I can get out of my head for this, but just more fleshed out and realistic of how it would have been for this young boy to go through this training regiment after the death of his parents with this guy as his mentor. This feels like a more realistic depiction than it was just bright costumes and gee golly, Batman, and jumping up and like, yeah, like, this feels like it. And like I said, I think it does a good job of also echoing so many, it plays with your knowledge of the larger Batman canon to echo certain things. Like there are certain moments in here where Dick Grayson feels like what Damian Wayne will one day be. And, you know, things that Bruce is saying that Alfred and Dick might be kind of blowing off that, you know, are going to be actually really kind of relevant when Jason Todd comes into the picture and then goes back out of the picture and then comes back in again, you know, and all this stuff. So far, so good. And I like the little subtle trick of flipping it so that this is a story where Robin is the protagonist. Right. And so yeah, it's called Robin and Batman. And so I liked all that. So thank you for not being All-Star Batman and Robin Part 2.
Yeah. And then real quick, because I know we got to move on to other things. What's the furthest place from here, which is a book completely unlike any of these others and not really about fatherhood. So I'm straying from the theme. This book is just one. It's very long. And I apologize to Kofi ahead of time. I was like, oh, my God, this is like a 60 page book. But if you are looking for value, it is there. It's from Tyler Boss and Matthew Rosenberg. And it's a book. It's set in a post-apocalyptic-ish kind of world, you know, where there's kind of this, they're kind of separated by factions and there's like a curfew. And so some of them have deals with others and there's alliances and things like that. It felt like very early Walking Dead for me, because like it was more about just like the people and like their living. It was kind of the slice of life in this world. Now there is a greater mystery at work about the city and things like that. And the one of the factions of strangers where all these kind of purges masks, like pig masks and stuff like that. So there's some other stuff going on, but most of it was just kind of this, you know, survival type thing. And like the camaraderie and the different conflicts between the groups, which I found interesting. Like, it's a long book. And so I don't know if I'm going to keep up with it. Because like, I wouldn't say like I was like dying to know more, but I enjoyed what I read. You know what I mean? If that makes any sense. So, you know, what did you guys think?
I'll just come up clean and say I realized too late that this wasn't in the Comixology lineup. And so like, I didn't get to this.
I didn't either. I thought that we were just doing the two because of Disney Plus.
I did, Matt. So I'll help you because Rosenberg is a, has been sometimes a hit or miss creator for me. I've loved a lot of his creator owned stuff and even his work for hire stuff. And I think this kind of feels hits all of like his best work in a few other places. It feels incredibly personal, which I like in a book, just knowing and seeing, you know, some of the other stuff that Matt has done. But it was a big book.
It's a lot. I think if it had been
a lot,
half of this, I would have come away maybe with a little bit of a different opinion, because it wouldn't have been just like downloading so much information and exposition. But you know, it's still an interesting world.
It felt like going to see Eternals, but in comic form.
boom! That's comics.
That's kind of a cell phone, weirdly. But Matt, if I had to pick this series or keep reading Nice House on the Lake, which one would you pick?
Oh, Nice House on the Lake.
There you go. Not even close. One of my favorite of the year. So, okay. That'll do it for comics. Matt, Jim, Connor, people have been calling for you guys. I mean, we've been like Marvel Netflix style, the launchpad for your own spinoff show. Jim, you gotta get on that. So give them another backdoor pilot of our wrestling podcast.
Ooh, seriously.
I don't know what we're calling it, but you guys give us another wonderful segment of wrestling what is happening in the world of wrestling. Connor Casey, it is your time to shine.
Well, as we workshop the name of a future spinoff podcast, let's get into something a bit lighter than what I came on here for last week. We've got AEW's Full Gear this Saturday night in Minneapolis. AEW is coming off of probably their best show ever with All Out back in August or September. And TV's been great. We've got big names like CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, my mistake, getting added into the fray. We've got the culmination of a storyline that, if you really trace it back, it's about 5 years old, but it is as old as the company itself. And the big question walking into this weekend is, can this show outperform what All Out did? And Matt, I will pose that question to you first.
I think it will be a good show. I don't think it can outperform it. And it just comes down to star power. It's just the fact that unless you've got another first CM Punk match and Bryan Danielson debut and Adam Cole debut and Ruby Soho debut in your back pocket, I just don't think it can match that kind of level. I mean, that's almost an unrepeatable thing. But we say that, and then, you know, companies repeat stuff and pull someone else out of it. Like, I would say, like, Bray Wyatt's about as close as you could get, you know, now Wyndham. Like, I feel like if he debuted, you would get a very big level of, like, oh, man, I don't know if it hits that level. It's just because there's just so much involved. You know what I mean?
Look, AEW is going to need to learn to put on shows that aren't driven by surprise ex-WWE people.
Agreed.
Coming up, just showing up. And so, like, I was talking to Connor about this yesterday. I didn't realize how big this card was, and I almost think it's unnecessarily big. I don't think that it needs, you could probably trim the three matches off this and have it be a nice, decent-sized pay-per-view. I think by it being so big, the inevitable Hangman Page win is not, I don't think, is going to translate as well, because I think people, depending on where they put it in the card, I think people are going to be tired. And so, like, it's a tough one for me this weekend.
It possibly could be too long. I think they get away with having 10 or so matches just on the fact that we only get four of these a year as opposed to one a month. Sure. If they were running WWE schedule, we would be banging our head against a wall at this point.
Like, these are more supersized, so
right. I guess, but I guess I think with WWE doing it once a month, you almost don't realize that AEW only does it once every 4 months. Like, it's another pay-per-view on a Saturday that I have to watch, regardless if it being WWE or AEW.
Fair. That is fair. But keep in mind, what we do is not what the common fan does.
Also, I get billed as the AEW hater. I just want to throw that out here. That is not true.
I just do that because I like flipping you crap, Matt.
Look, I'm not hating on AEW. No, you're not hating. There are just some questionable things that I think, you know, like, in this current ecosystem, that like, time is funny. How many times do we talk about how long Raw is every week, right? Like, so, like, I don't know, the fact that Rampage can be a great show in an hour is a testament to them knowing how to manage time and just time economy. And so having a show as big as this and as long as this feels unnecessary, but I get it.
That's fair, but I'll counter the other point regarding not, They can't be relying on big surprises, because honestly, I'm not expecting any big surprises this time around. I'm not expecting Bray. I'm not expecting a Ring of Honor invasion now that they're all free agents. I'm really just expecting great matches, which, if you look back at the All Out card, we weren't chomping at the bit for a lot of these. No one was getting hyped about Kenny Christian too. And nobody thought, you know, that Young Bucks Lucha Bros cage match, it's going to be good. Wound up being a match of the year contender.
Sure.
Just out of the blue. And there's several on this card that I go, I just really need to see this match. I need to see Darby versus MJF. I need Lucha Bros versus FTR in my life. And CM Punk versus Eddie Kingston in about 10 days got me more hyped for anything in WWE this year with one promo and one clip of them fighting in the parking lot where Eddie Kingston going, it was the best. And then you put all that aside and then you talk about Hangman Kenny, which, man, if they pull that off, that is the signature feud of this company's first decade. and they've done marvelously with it so far. So that brings up the second question. Who's actually winning this thing? Because I keep hearing arguments that we need to hold off on Hangman even longer.
From who?
from who questionable people? People on the internet. Matt, you know them.
Same people. Yeah, I think this is it. I think this is the show as big as this. Like, I get it. Like, I think you want it to happen at an event like All Out, because like that's their WrestleMania for all intents and purposes. And so this, I guess, the way that they have brought this storyline to where it is now, Kenny has to lose. Like, there's no, I think Kenny is, he's been a great champ and has done a lot of things, did the whole, you know, double dipped with the Impact stuff, for a while as well. And so let the man rest a little bit.
I think there's that. And I also think just from a narrative standpoint, like Hangman has gone through the revival arc, essentially.
Right.
He's gone through the, hey, I built myself up, I let everyone down, I went through this downward spiral. It's the unworthy Thor thing. It's, hey, he's got the hammer back. Now let him go bash up some giants. That we've reached that part. This is the grand finale of it. Now, what do you do with him after? That's an entirely different argument, whether it's Danielson.
Well, that's my concern is I don't know who you program Page against as champion.
Here's my thing with that. Everyone's like, oh, Danielson needs to win. I'm like, Danielson's not chasing after the title. He's chasing after another match with Kenny. That's what he wants.
Which is great, by the way, because then you have something for Kenny to do.
Right.
He loses the title, which is great. I mean, I don't know. I feel like the obvious thing would be Cole, right?
Just to like, it'd be, you can go Kenny with Cole. You can go Kenny with, Brian, no,
I mean Hangman.
With Hangman, then you put Miro in there, because that was going to be Moxley. Ugh. Thing is, you know those promos are great, Jim. All that thing has to do is carry us to Winter is Coming, and that's next month. That's it. And then the new year, you have him face MJF. I don't know, somebody, or then you pull the trigger on Punk. Then there's lots of options.
I have to, because I love MJF. Mm. As a heel, however, he has got to find a different octave for like his promos, because it's like he's always screaming at me, and it's a very like whatever tone he has found, it's the tone that just like drives me crazy. It's like, stop yelling at me. It's like a pissed off grocery shopper energy that MJF gives off, and it's just like, please stop. He's got to find a different octave. But I love him. I love his promos.
He's annoying you, and you know it. That's the point.
Well, yeah, but it's not purple. It's not like Jericho on, like, it's Jericho on Rampage commentary.
Annoying. Yeah.
It's not.
Oh, stop. Cool. You don't. Annoying. He's Jericho on commentary. I love
He got better, though. Over the last episode, he got better. But,
better than CM Punk on commentary. Good Lord. He's boring.
Yeah, we are just throwing shots all over. But anyway, you will have full coverage from us of Full Gear this Saturday night. It's going to be a lot of fun. Kofi, that is the wrestling corner for us.
Man, this pilot was pretty spicy for your backdoor pilot, man.
We've been backdoor piloting for months. You know
this. Oh, I know, but this was, I'm just trying to highlight it. I'm trying to promote this so we can take this mess out of here.
Okay.
We love you guys in our wrestling segment. People love it. They want you guys to get your own show.
Janelle's, I took a screenshot of Janelle's facial expression during the wrestling
segment. Some of the things you guys say, I'm just like,
and I'm gonna share it because it's amazing.
Was it when I glazed over?
It was like nothing. It was
just there's like sometimes you get crazy reactions too. Sometimes you'll get like a weird face, and I'm like, that's kind of distracting. I try not to.
This
do
is
that,
what Anissa is like when she hears me drone on about like anything I do at this
job. Remember anything when I was actually trying to follow? I was like, I'm gonna get into wrestling, and then it's hard.
And then we said, welcome to hell.
Now it's just that rest of development. Hello, darkness, my old friend. All right. But that's been our wrestling segment. And this has been our epic Disney Plus Day stream. If you guys have hung in there the whole time for both the Phase Zero and the Comic Book Nation half.
You're the true fans. We love you.
We love you. You guys are real fans. This is the Comic Book Nation half. We are live every Friday at noon on Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. And you can catch us on any of those platforms if you just want the audio. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio, iHeartRadio. And you can tell your smart home devices to play Comic Book Nation podcast for our latest episode. If you want to follow us for more updates, we are at Comic Book Nation, or you can find me at Kofi Outlaw.
You can find me at Matt Aguilar CB.
You can find me at Janelle Wheeler.
You can find me at Connor Casey CB. Hit that follow button.
At Jim Viscardi. Bring it. Let's go.
All the Moon Knight
content. Hot Takes Central.
All the time. One account. Jim Viscardi. All right. So that is the Comic Book Nation crew. We want to thank you guys for tuning in, especially today. Happy Disney Plus Day.
Happy Celebrate Christmas Day.
Happy Twitter Feed Day.
Yay.
So we'll see you guys back next week. This is Comic Book Nation. Love you guys. See ya. Peace.
Bye, guys.